Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, that's it. All right, we got a full team.
Just take the one you're home.
Ed, how are you doing?
I'm doing so great.
Sick of hearing, can't hear you, Sid.
How about now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I hear you, Sid. I hear you. I see you.
You can hear me now?
Yes. All right. Ready? I'm just trying to... Can somebody call Block Talk really quick? Just make sure we're good, Darren, Sid, or Noah.
Are you on it? I'll do it. I got it. Oh, Sid's doing it.
Wow, I could really hear my typing with this system right now. Noah, we cannot hear you.
Somebody talk.
Hello. Oh. Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
My mic wasn't working either, so I'm just using my computer mic right now.
What happened with your mic, Sid?
Last week, the headphone connection wasn't working with the adapter. This week, the mic isn't working. I don't know. We'll figure it out during the week. Not a big deal.
Okay. Noah, how are you sounding? I can't hear you. No.
What about now?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just use my computer mic then. I apologize.
What?
I apologize for the crappy sound.
Okay.
And so I didn't notice a thing until you just said that.
So it's just me and Darren on the road this week.
And hi, Aria. Nice to meet you.
Hi,
I
nice
tried to say
you.
It like 5,000 times, but I was like, oh no, am I being ignored?
hold on. Let me just post the preview, and then we are good to go. Then we'll go live.
Okay.
20 minutes.
You got Jesse Ventura behind you.
I'm reusing one of our Patreon backgrounds because I don't have the time to come up with anything.
Good thing we're not on terrestrial radio like some professional people in this chat.
It's appropriate. He's, you know, an alternative candidate who gets a lot of unjustified shit from people. So it's more related to our show today.
I think it's just because of the jackets he wears, though.
Jesse?
Oh, Jesse Ventura, you mean?
Yeah.
No, we thought you were talking about Rob.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not running right yet.
Rob wears the same jacket. In fact,
I
you wore the same
fringy jacket.
Stinky jacket that Jesse Ventura wore on Tag Team.
I'm just waiting for the... and your last name is pronounced DeMezzo?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
Close to starting?
Yep.
I'm going to mute my mic.
Thank you. sir. Darren, you said the Blog Talk is good to go. I'm going to assume you said yes. Okay, let's begin. All right, here we go.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Anthrax is putting out their own brand of hand sanitizer. Cool, what's next? Cannibal Corpse Loop. Actually, that's not a bad idea. When is Corpse Grinder coming back on the show? This could be big. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
This could be big. Every metal band should release a hand sanitizer. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. We are live. It's September 22nd. And my name is Rob. Thank you for joining, as always. I'm here with the lovely Noah, the
Hello.
Lovelier Darren, and the loveliest Sid.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
And we have a very, very special guest joining us right at the top of the show. And she's been making headlines all over the country. And she is a metalhead, so we're so excited to have her. Aria DeMezzo is here. And for those of you, welcome, Aria.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. And if you haven't been keeping up with the world of politics, Aria is a trans, self-described Satanist metalhead. And you won the Republican nomination for New Hampshire County Sheriff.
Yes,
and
for Cheshire County.
For
in
Cheshire.
New Hampshire.
Oh, for Cheshire County specifically, yeah. In New Hampshire, not the entire state. And so, first, just to get like, why did you decide to run for the Republican nomination? Are you a Republican?
I'm not a Republican. I mean, I'm registered as a Republican, but I'm obviously not a Republican, and I don't really see eye to eye with Republicans on pretty much anything. But libertarians don't have, you know, ballot access here in New Hampshire. So when it came time for us to either go out there and collect signatures to get ourselves on the ballot in November, we had an easier option, and that was just to join up with the Republicans who are basically non-existent here in Cheshire County. I mean, they exist, but it's a very small group. So the opportunity was there for us to just go in and continue doing our thing.
So you're saying it's a primarily Democratic voting county, and
correct.
You saw an opportunity, and the sheriff typically runs unopposed. So you saw an opportunity where, like, you wouldn't be on the final ballot if you kind of ran primary the sheriff, whereas if you ran on the Republican ticket, you're guaranteed to be on the ballot on election day.
Yeah, if I had run as a Democrat, obviously Eli Rivera, the incumbent, would have won the primary as well. Mm-hmm. But by running as a Republican, I got to skip all of that, basically, because the guy who normally runs for the Republicans, for whatever reason, this year didn't. I guess he's tired of losing. I mean, he has lost four times in a row. I'm sure he's tired of it.
Like the Washington Generals of New Hampshire politics.
And you know, my favorite part of the story, obviously, since this is the Metal Injection Livecast, is that you're a metalhead.
I am indeed. I've been listening to rock as long as I can remember.
That's awesome. So what are some of your current jams?
Probably still A Perfect Circle and Pink Floyd. They've been tied for my favorite bands for the better part of my life, and I don't see anyone else really displacing them. But there's also a lot of Disturbed, a lot of Trivium, a whole lot of Bare Laments. And as you might expect that I'm listening to, of course, they just released a new album. I haven't had the chance to check it out yet, but their work is always great. So that's generally what I'm listening to at the moment. Some combination of A Perfect Circle, Pink Floyd, Bare Laments, and a Disturbed.
Cool. And speaking of Trivium, I messaged them because you made one of their songs. You made one of their songs your official campaign anthem.
Yes.
And I messaged them like, hey, guys, did you see this? And they loved it, specifically Matt Heafy, frontman, and the bassist Paolo Gregoletto. How was that, seeing them support your thoughts?
Oh, it was amazing. I've listened to Trivium most of my life, so interacting with them to whatever degree was fantastic. But to have them actually, you know, express their support for the campaign and for what I'm doing, I'm a fan of theirs. And here they are saying, hey, yeah, this is great. We support you. It's amazing.
And
I never would have seen that coming.
What song was your campaign song?
The Heart From Your Hate. It was appropriate. And it's got some really good guitar licks in it. So
did you reach out to them and talk to them at all in private, or was it just that public conversation where Paula was like, yeah, sure. Yeah. We think what you're doing is cool.
Yeah. I did not reach out and touch them and message them privately. I imagine they're kind of busy and I didn't want to like bother them. So.
And so let's talk a little bit about your campaign. Let's say all this positive metal injection press you get will encourage a lot of people in the county to vote for you and you win. What could local residents expect having a satanic trans metalhead as their county sheriff?
Well, none of that's really going to inform my actions as sheriff. The main thing that would inform my actions as sheriff would be the fact that I'm an anarchist. I don't think the police should be out there harassing people, pulling them over, extorting them, kidnapping them for things like broken tail lights or possessing drugs or doing sex work or being an illegal immigrant or any of these things. So I would like to see the sheriff's department out there policing the police, inhibiting the police as they're trying to make victims of people by extorting them, by finding them, by kidnapping them. So that's what people
What do you mean by kidnapping them?
Well, that's what it's called when you hold someone at gunpoint and you bind their arms behind their back and you put them in a cell against their will. It's kidnapping.
I just want you to spell that out in case.
It's part of this entire religious mythology woven around the state and the government apparatus that it's somehow not kidnapping. But it is. People are being kidnapped for all kinds of ridiculous things because they're out there making choices that the government doesn't like. But they're not actually causing any victims. They're not harming anyone, except perhaps themselves, but that's their right. But they're getting kidnapped for that. They're getting extorted for that.
And then when you say you're an anarchist, you hear Trump on the news, these anarchists, they're ruining everything. I feel like the mainstream definition of an anarchist is just the assumption of like lawlessness. There's no laws, remove all the laws, chaos, crime. And I imagine that's what you're about. Can you describe how you define being an anarchist?
Well, anarchy is without rulers. There can certainly be leaders within an anarchist society, so someone that people choose to follow and whose rules they choose to follow. So it's not without rules. It's not without order. In fact, the anarchy symbol, the A inside of the circle, it's shorthand for anarchy is the mother of order. A lot of spontaneous order results when people are free to do what they want, when they don't have to worry about having violence used against them. So wouldn't it be, you know, there's this whole talking point of, oh, well, you should just move to Somalia if you don't like it here, then you'll have your anarchy. But Somalia isn't anarchy. It's a bunch of states. It's a bunch of governments fighting over who is going to be the supreme one in control. It's a civil war between multiple governments. That's not an anarchy. Anarchy is the absence of a government. Or to be more specific, the absence of a state.
Well, if I could ask you, so you said that you were about having the sheriff's department police the police, which I think is a noble, I really think that's what the sheriff's department is supposed to be doing in an ideal world to begin with. But what do you see if we did have an ideal world? Like, you're the sheriff, you've established what you want to establish. What is the police's real job? What should they be doing?
Helping people who have called them and requested their help. If they're a victim of an actual crime, the police, the sheriff's department, they should respond to that. They've actually been victimized. I mean, sure, there's probably some free market competition solution that's better than having a police department and a sheriff's department, but this is the world we've got. So this is what we're going to work with. If there's going to be a police force, then they should be out there helping, serving, and protecting people. But that's not at all what police do. They have no obligation to help anyone. If they see somebody being attacked on the side of the street, they're not legally required to actually intervene and help that person being attacked. And the Supreme Court has upheld this repeatedly. Police have no obligation to intervene. They have no obligation to protect anyone.
Right. So to give you like an example, I was in Montreal last year, and they have a totally different like revolutionary way of policing there. Not that it's without fault, but like basically they sit in a station like firemen and wait for calls. They don't walk around patrol. They don't have guns on them. They don't resolve like petty disputes with packing heat. Do you think that's somewhere more along the lines of what you would want to do, or is it even more to the left of that?
No, that's pretty much exactly right. And that's what I've said. You know, the deputies who work under me, they have a few options. They can sit in the office all day and wait on a victim to report a crime, play Minecraft, listening to Trivium, whatever it is they choose to do with their time. Or they can go out there and police the police, or they can quit. Mm-hmm. Those are their options. But as far as going out and aggressing against people, I mean, yeah, 99.9% of police calls, they have no reason to go there with a gun. They do. And more often than not, they end up using it, or they end up choking someone to death for trying to sell cigarettes or for having a fake fake $20 bill.
Would you look into maybe sending like EMTs and mental health people out to those kind of calls, and then having police respond to like armed conflicts and that type of thing?
That would be fantastic. I'm not sure if the political system within Cheshire County would allow that to happen.
Right.
But I would prefer to have a deputy who's just a mental health specialist. Actually, now that I think about it, that's exactly what I could do. That's a great idea. I absolutely will do that. Have a deputy who's a mental health specialist who responds to people in distress, cool, who are having anxiety attacks or mental breakdowns.
Hmm. Well,
you
just
need to have Darren on your team here.
it's a long commute.
Just to clarify with EMTs, I mean, I don't know about in Chester County, but in New York, an EMT is not allowed to respond to a victim until the situation has been cleared by police, until they can assess that the area is clear. So I think all those different public service facilities are kind of working together.
They more than likely are scratching each other's backs and all of that, but if I want to have an EMT on my staff, I can deputize them and they can respond to the same calls that I can respond to because they're a deputy.
Right.
So that may be one way around that. You know, an EMT can't respond until the situation has been cleared by police. Okay, well, make the EMT a police officer. Make them a deputy so that they can go in there and clear the situation themselves.
One thing I also wanted to discuss was your position on masks.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking a lot about how concerts are dealing with, you know, social distancing and the ongoing pandemic. And I was curious your take on it.
I'm not a fan of masks. If people want to wear them, that's fine. I would rather not wear them. But if someone says, hey, this is my business, you have to wear a mask to come in here. Or somebody says, hey, if you want to come hang out in my house, you have to put on a mask. I'll say, okay, I can either listen and wear the mask and shop at your business, or I can go elsewhere. What I'm against are the mandates. I'm against the government overstepping its bounds and telling us that we have to wear this item of clothing, we have to wear this piece of jewelry, we have to wear whatever. I'm against that.
But
well,
sorry, Rob.
Go ahead, Darren.
Don't you think that the government has some, I mean, let's leave the COVID out of it and we'll just talk about a general case. Like, doesn't the government have some responsibility to manage like the public health, and if there's a massive crisis, they do have some sort of increased authoritarian powers available?
Well, they're not supposed to. They gave themselves that power, sure. By the stroke of a pen, the governor of New Hampshire or the governor anywhere or the president can just say, oh, it's a state of emergency, now we have martial law and you can't do anything about it. Of course, we're not under martial law or anything like that. I mean, some places like New York City got pretty close there for a little bit, but we're not under martial law. But they can do that. They gave themselves the power to do that. Well, and the Supreme Court said, okay, yeah, this is fine, because for whatever reason, the founding fathers, occasionally brilliant though they were, they decided that the power to determine what the state was and wasn't allowed to do should reside in the Supreme Court, which is part of the state. So it's like police policing themselves.
But we are in a situation where it's like pretty much the medical consensus that if you don't wear a mask, you are helping perpetuate a deadly plague. So isn't that a scenario where you might say the government really has a right? If it's done, like, it could definitely be overstepped. Like, I'll grant you that. But if we keep an eye on the government and make sure that they don't, you know, impose tyranny on us, isn't it a good thing to make sure that the virus is spread as little as possible?
I would say no. I'm an anarchist. I'm not a favor of the government mandating anything, even things I like. You know, I'm not a fan of murder. I don't want people to murder. I think murder is immoral. But I don't think that the government saying, hey, murder is illegal now, is doing anything to deter people from murdering. It's just causing a prison system apparatus.
Just for me personally, if murder was not illegal, I would have killed numerous people in my life.
Sid?
No doubt. The only thing stopping me sometimes is not wanting to go to jail.
Sid is,
well, that's a morality problem.
I don't have, I'm not a moral person.
Meet Sid. He's lacking a moral compass.
It's true.
I mean, there are those people out there. So in some cases, sure, the fact that it's illegal is a deterrent for people to not commit murder. But the vast majority of people who commit murder aren't given. Once they're willing to commit murder, their own internal morality has already broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is staying most people's hands. It's like, hey, no, I don't want to kill anyone.
By that token, if we're going against what 99.7% of doctors say is killing 200,000 people, aren't we, in a sense, like murdering them?
Were we murdering people last year when we were spreading pneumonia and not wearing masks?
Did that happen? Happened.
Somebody absolutely died of pneumonia that they caught from somebody not wearing a mask last year. That absolutely happened. Is that person who spread pneumonia because they weren't wearing a mask, therefore a murderer?
I mean, not that one individual person, but I mean, if the government has the ability to prevent massive deaths, I feel like that's a different scale than one person getting or 10 people getting pneumonia. Like, it's not a pandemic.
Well, I think what Arya, and I might be wrong, I don't know, but in a way I do agree with you, because once we start implementing these laws by government, it's hard to take them away. So when the government is telling you how to run your business, when to open, when to close, and takes that right away from you, and also is telling you what to wear, I think it's a very, like, we're walking very close to the edge.
But I don't agree with that, because it's special circumstance. Like, you know,
the government already tells you when you can open or close. So,
I mean, you got to look at what just happened. With just the flick of his wrist, Governor Sununu and all of the governors throughout the United States, they turned your barber into a police officer. They turned your gas station worker into a police officer. They served your fast food workers. They turned them into police officers who are enforcing the laws of the state. Anyone who has a job right now has to enforce these laws, or the businesses that they work for are going to get fined.
Right. Like, a Starbucks barista should not be responsible for kicking somebody out for not wearing a mask. That's like a responsibility that they did not ask for. I totally agree.
But these places have signs that say no shirt, no shoes, no service. So an employee is going to have to kick somebody out for that. So they're already sort of deputized to do these things.
That's a policy of the store, though. Yeah. It's not a legal requirement. That's
right.
The policy of the store.
Right. The store wouldn't get fined by the government. But, like, just to kind of pull back, I know we only have a few more minutes here. You mentioned how being an anarchist, you know, you think murder, there shouldn't be a law about murder. So how would, if that were the case, you know, and, like, I feel like this is a very nuanced argument. Like, if I were to go to my mother, who is an immigrant, and be like, oh, you know, like, murder, you know, murder laws are oppressive. You know, like, it just...
I'm not saying they're oppressive. I'm saying they're unnecessary.
They're unnecessary. I'm sorry. I don't mean to put words in your mouth. But so sure. My question would be, like, if there wasn't the law, how would murders be prevented?
Well, self-defense. Everyone should be trained in self-defense.
Yes. Agree.
So because the police aren't going to prevent you from being murdered. They're going to take 38 minutes to get out to your house to prevent that murder, if they even decide to respond, because the Supreme Court has decided they have no obligation to. So your best bet in whether murder is illegal or not is to know how to defend yourself.
I feel like we're conflating, like, preemptive defense of murder with what happens when you commit a murder. And
yeah, so somebody murdered somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
What should happen to that person? Like a cold-blooded murder. If murder is not illegal,
the person didn't defend themselves adequately.
Right. Or there was an argument at the store over the wrong amount of change. The person has a short temper and shot the clerk.
Well, as sheriff, I would arrest that person.
But hey, that's in your capacity, but we're talking about, like, you're saying that, like, law is not necessary. So yeah, in your ideal,
I'm saying it's not necessary, but I've also expressed clearly that I will continue to enforce laws where there are.
I'm just asking
about this hypothetical ideal world of how we can prevent murders, but the truth is that the current justice system, it doesn't really do that. It just punishes people for bad behavior. A good, just, anarchic society would reward people for good behavior so that it didn't have any reason or motivation to become aggressive in the first place.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was looking for.
I don't disagree with that, but the reason we got onto murder is because we were using it as a more elevated metaphor for mask wearing. So how would you reward, you know, you seem to be against masks, so
I'm not against masks, I'm against mandates.
All right, let me reframe the question then. Do you feel that wearing the mask, forget about whether it's legal or not, just an individual person wearing the mask, is that beneficial to society? And
yes.
We encourage it. So how would you encourage it on the without mandating it?
By showing people the science behind it. I mean, you should be able to reason with people. Reason should be the first way that we approach people. Violence should never be on the table. It's okay, you do this or I attack you. That's never okay. That's never the way to approach things.
Right,
Aria, it's been such a pleasure, but I think we have to let you go.
Yeah,
I wish we had more time. It's been very fascinating to talk to you. Please come back on the show, especially when you win. We'd love to talk to the official sheriff.
And I hope you get one of those fancy hats that sheriffs wear.
You can get one anyway.
I might have to get one custom made.
Yeah,
a
metal one. You know?
With the pentagram right in the middle. Just get a Satanist symbology all over the sheriff's hat.
Also, I want to put this out there. You don't worship Satan, right? That's not what Satanism is about.
No one, I mean, angsty teenagers may actually pray to the devil or whatever, but no adult who calls himself a Satanist actually believes that this entity exists. It's a way of being an atheist and, you know, making Christians angry.
Yeah, which we're all about.
We're all about that.
We do that every week here.
Awesome.
And Jews.
Before we let you go,
and Muslims, everybody.
Anything to plug in your personal social?
Well, there's Free Talk Live that people can find at freetalklive.com. It's actually what I'm about to go do right now, the reason I have to cut this kind of short.
Sounds good.
Could I ask one super quick question? Like, super quick question. One last question. You said you're a fan of Disturbed. What do you think of their cover of Sound of Silence?
I'm not a fan.
Good.
Honestly. Nice. Okay.
I usually skip it if Spotify starts playing it. I'm just like, okay, skip.
Way to take a bold stance. A lot of politicians might have just said, oh, I haven't heard it yet. Or, don't have an opinion.
Well, I'll always be honest. And that's my opinion on it.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I love when I can discuss political topics such as this, where I disagree with someone, but can still have a civil discussion about it. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I feel like we agree on most things. So good luck in your election.
Excellent. Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was cool.
All right. That was really cool.
That was interesting. Cool
to have her on the air with us and talk. And welcome to the live cast.
Hey.
Now it's just the four of us. Way less anarchistic.
Boom.
But that was cool. And also, really quickly, I do want to mention something that is a little important, which is you're a fan of the show. You listen to us in your podcast app. Take a second. Go to the podcast app. Go to our show page and rate us. Give us a nice rating. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave a funny comment. If you leave a funny comment, we'll read it on the air. Yeah. It's just really important to help us with our rankings on those platforms. So please, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, give us a 5-star rating. That'd be nice.
And rate.
And I also want to mention, of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. For $5 a month, you get at least one bonus episode a month. This month's bonus is Until the Light Takes Us. We do a watch along and we just learn everything we need to know about Burzum and Varg and all that. And past episodes include a Motley Crue The Dirt watch along for the Netflix movie. Santa with Muscles, I finally got it right. The Hulk Hogan movie.
Yay!
We did a lot of watching. What are some other ones we did? We did a roundtable review of Cube, an excellent horror movie. What else?
Bubba Hotep.
Bubba Hotep, we did a watch along recently.
We had music.
No, we did a round table.
Oh, round table.
We did the tag team with Jesse Ventura, the guy behind you currently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's plenty of stuff to check out. Patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast, $5 a month. And Patreon has a new feature where you can actually commit to an entire year of loving us. And if you do that, you get a 15% discount off the place. So it's a little cheaper than $5 a month. Because we're like, hey, you want to give us, you want to commit to a year? We'll give you a little.
Do we want to tease what we're doing for next month, or the theme for next month at least?
Next month is October, which we are converting to Shocktober.
I think, yeah.
we're gonna have some horror.
We're gonna workshop that name.
Horror.
Scary.
Some horror.
Horror. We're gonna do some horror. Horror movies.
Bunch of horror
movies.
Hey.
Horror. What? I'm saying it wrong. Horror.
Horror.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So my mic does work.
Yeah.
Weird.
Your mic has been working this whole time, Noah. What are you talking about?
Yes, it has.
Can I try to see if my mic is working now?
I mean,
yeah, I just unplugged the XLR and put it back in. See if that works for you.
That's always the first thing you should try.
We want to send a huge thanks to Rode microphones. You might notice these fancy Rode Podomatics that we're working with. Rode really hooked us up so nicely, so kindly.
They have great mics.
So if
I
you notice,
a... sorry, Rob.
If you notice
I'm
we were sounding extra sexy, there's a little extra bass in my voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thanks to Rode, all the people there, including Jason. Thank you so much for sending this stuff to us, and. Big thanks to those guys. We really appreciate
and if you're looking to start a podcast, they have a great mixer called the Podcaster Pro.
Yeah, like, and these automatic mics.
Yeah.
Fancy. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the stories of the day. I'm trying to pull up the run sheet, but while I do that, does anyone have any news?
Any news?
Like I'm pregnant.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Jesus fucking Christ, Noah.
Oh, my God.
God damn.
News.
You know what? We're going to get that, extract that clip and post that tomorrow, but without the part where you say you're kidding.
Yeah.
Just going to blow up your spot.
No, but the part where I say I'm kidding is the best one because of your reactions. Or I guess my
reaction. We'll post that on Thursday.
Okay.
Teaser.
Yeah, part one or part two.
I don't know. I just felt pressure to give some kind of
news.
Yeah, Rob really put us on the spot there. Yeah. I don't have any fucking news.
I assume somebody had something specific and he was like teeing us up.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, oh, I wonder.
No, I was just delaying while I pulled stuff up. But there was breaking news as we went live.
What?
Which is Ozzy Osbourne's granddaughter has COVID-19. Ozzy Osbourne's 2.5-year-old granddaughter, Minnie, contracted
Minnie.
Well, like Minnie Mouse, it's spelled
Minnie.
Minnie.
Whose daughter is she?
Jax.
Minnie and Mickey.
Jack Osborne's daughter.
Heck,
so
does that mean one of them has to have it, right?
No, because apparently Jack doesn't have it, and Jack's mom doesn't have it. And none of his other children have it.
Jack's baby mama?
Jack's baby's mom doesn't have it.
No.
Yet, but,
okay.
So Sharon Osbourne was on The Talk today. You know, she has her daily talk show, The Talk.
That's still on?
That is still on.
Wow.
Why wouldn't it be on?
I don't know. These things don't last that long, usually.
It's so cheap to produce. Why would it, like, why wouldn't they keep making it?
Lack of interest?
But, so Sharon Osbourne was on The Talk. She wasn't at The Talk, but she was on The Talk because she is quarantining. Because apparently Minnie, quote, caught it from somebody that works for my son. And it goes to show you, she's just 3 years of age. Children can get COVID, Ozzy.
She had some tainted figgy pudding.
So I guess it was
like
a nanny or someone that gave it to her, which that's pretty scary.
Yeah. It goes against what people say, that little children can't get it, you know. It's one of the Trump things that he tried to
Well, I think that's like one of those things that was said initially that people just stuck to as like absolute fact. And I feel like after a month they were saying like, hey, young people, like you can get it, especially if you have conditions, which like some people don't even know they have these like at-risk conditions. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Asthma or something, right?
Yeah, asthma or any sort of like lung condition or diabetes or heart conditions.
Also, if you get it and you fight it off, it can have really deleterious effects on your health for the rest
yes.
of your life too.
Yes, there are people that got it at the beginning of COVID. I wrote a story about a musician, the vocalist of Sludge, who is still dealing with ramifications from having it. It's not as bad as it was, but he still has breathing issues. It's a fucking scary disease. Like, I don't want it. Like, you know, you don't want it. You don't want to deal with it. And
our friend
you don't
Nick,
have insurance.
Whoops. Our friend Mick, who works as an x-ray technician, sent us x-rays of patients with COVID and then x-rays of patients with of like, you know, just like regular lungs.
Healthy lungs.
And
yeah.
It's fucking scary.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is he just sent us x-rays of their crotches for some reason. I don't know why. Still interesting.
Scariest,
though.
I definitely got one of those.
The scariest slide was his dick pic mixed in there.
But all the best to the Osbournes. We hope nobody dies of COVID there.
And all the best to Mick. I hope his penis doesn't get COVID either.
I haven't really been following like how it affects kids or whatever, just because it doesn't really affect me in any way. And there's like so much. Yeah, I know, but there's so much news that I have to like pick and select what I keep up with. But I think from what I remember, they said that like even though like kids are carriers of it, but the virus doesn't affect them as badly, of course, unless they have like pre-existing conditions, but they don't affect them as badly as they do for adults.
Right. They're not likely to die, but they still get sick. Like The Rock got COVID. Him and his mm-hmm. whole family got COVID because they had a gathering and I guess somebody didn't know they had it and spread it to the whole fucking family.
That's stupid.
And he said that him and his wife had it really bad, but that his children were also sick. Like they were sick for a few days. So it's probably just like equivalent to a common cold, but still you don't want your kids being sick.
I think it's more the fact that like old people are more likely to have the things that will make you at high risk for dying from it, but children can be too. It's not only like it's not only you're old, you get it, you die. Like old people can be healthy and young people can be ill, but the tendency is for the old people to have these health effects that would make them more at risk.
Yeah.
Right. They're a lot more susceptible, the elderly crowd.
Exactly.
And on that topic, you know, some bands are being proactive, and I really like that. And I did want to share this piece of news that surfaced today.
We have good news?
Which is that Anthrax is launching a stop spreading the disease hand sanitizer. I have to say, this is pretty great marketing. They're going to be putting out a hand sanitizer in the next week or two.
The name needs work, though. Not the spreading the disease part, the anthrax part. Basically, putting anthrax on your hands to remove disease from it.
Anthrax is so 2005.
What do you mean?
What? Remember when, like, anthrax, like, everybody was scared of getting anthrax in the mail.
Oh,
that
was
before 2000.
That was right after 9/11.
Yeah, that was 2001.
You're being generous, Noah.
I don't know.
And also, wasn't it, am I misremembering this, but like the whole scare was bullshit, that it wasn't, it was like just trolls sending the anthrax? Like,
no, it was never really discovered who it was, but it was believed to be like right-wing domestic terrorism. At first, the first reporting was that Iraq did it, and like you know, or the same people who attacked us in on 9/11 was also sending the anthrax. But the last like definitive, well, there's no definitive proof, but the consensus is that it was like right wing domestic terrorism.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. All I remember is working for an office that did moving. And the CEO of the company got a box filled with like white powder. And I think it was like the CDC or like whoever came in with like hazmat suits and we had to be quarantined in the conference room.
Damn.
So stupid.
All because he wouldn't give you a week off. Are you satisfied, Noah?
It's a disgruntled employee.
Disgruntled Noah.
Yeah.
I didn't send it. I was in the office.
That's your story.
I only have access to one kind of anthrax, and it's the one that Rob is about to talk about.
Which is
we talked about it. It's done.
That's it?
That was it. They're putting out a hand sanitizer. That's the story.
How much?
They haven't released the price yet, but I guarantee it's going to be overpriced.
Oh, yeah.
It's just because it's like you got to pay for the sanitizer. You got to pay for putting that sticker on
it. Is the bottle taller than Scott Ian?
Most likely.
Okay. Nice. Then
three of the four sizes are, yeah.
Is Joey Belladonna making it in his bathtub?
Joey Belladonna is completely cut out from any profits of it.
God, thank goodness.
Well, he's just making his own in his bathtub.
Yeah, he's making Belladonna sanitizer.
Have you seen the hair of his? I mean, it can't be sanitary. You can't sell hand sanitizer.
He just wrings out the grease into a bottle and sells that.
Oh, are you saying, Sid, you're suggesting that the germs in his hair will counteract COVID-19?
Yep.
They'll just go to war with each
other?
I got you. Makes sense. You heard it here first.
And now if he actually does that, we get a cut of the profits.
Sure.
Or at least a free sample.
And in live cast curse news, moving on a little bit, I want to thank Knackbag for making us aware of this very important story. I can't believe it. The live cast, this isn't technically the live cast, Chris, but
yes,
unfortunately, we learned this week that the vocalist of Friends of the Show, Mbalula Gugal, passed away. Dustin Jeffries, the artist behind the Black and Noise, I guess it's a one-man band, the artist behind the Black and Noise Act, Mbalula Gugal passed away.
It's so sad that he gets that little tiny obituary when he made such an impact on our show.
Due to long-term health complications. That's sad. Known for mixing together black metal, death metal.
Wait, the health complications were created by mixing?
No, he's known. Dustin Jeffries is known for mixing together all these styles of music.
What was more complicated, the music or the health?
Well, you heard the music.
it's a tough race.
I heard he came into contact with Joey Belladonna's hair.
Well, that would have saved him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could have tested the theory for sure.
Yeah. Rob, did you post about this on metal injection? Legend.
Sorry.
I did not post about this on metal injection. No, we haven't really covered it.
Did any metal musicians react on Twitter to his death?
No, there was no reaction.
So sad.
Probably just that one person who alerted us.
Yeah, like, well, are we the only exposure that dude ever got?
I'm gonna say this is live cast curse. Even though we haven't talked about them in a while, no one knows anything about this band except that we put them out there.
Dude, on our last Zoom hangout, you did trivia and you had people spell the band name.
Yep,
and
no one could do it.
Yeah. He might have been dying as we were asking people that, for all we know.
A great point, Sid. And by the way, those were super fans. Those are our Patreon listeners. People have been listening for 11 years, and they couldn't spell the name of this fucking band. They could have Googled it, too, and they couldn't. They still couldn't do it.
They could have Mbalula Googled it.
By the way,
EM, not EN.
EN, not ENBI. L-U-L-U-G-U-G-A-L. I have a whole new set of questions, by the way. We're going to play a new trivia game next time we have a Zoom hangout. So if you're a Patreon listener, get to studying.
Yeah.
I got some tough ones.
Nice.
Maybe some also audio and visual clues, too.
Who knows who will die because of one of these questions?
Bam Skippy. Just don't go out and kill anybody so that it'll make it a quirky live cast reference, though. That's not cool.
Despite what was discussed earlier, that's still illegal.
Yeah, we're working on that, but not yet.
What else is going on in the world? AC/DC's reunion is happening. The band accidentally leaked photos of their music video shoot. Oops.
You can't spell accidentally without AC/DC.
It's true. Their webmaster... posted a blog post about like behind the scenes photos from their music video shoot, and then like almost immediately took it down. But of course, AC/DC has such rabid fans. People took screenshots and posted it all over. And the big news is that Brian Johnson is back in the band. If you might remember, they moved on without Brian Johnson, the vocalist, because he went deaf. And he was going deaf, and he couldn't keep performing. And he couldn't, like, if he kept performing, he would definitely be deaf.
So is he not deaf now? What happened?
So he took a break from the band, and then that's when they had Axl Rosel.
Axl Rose sing.
And we covered this on the site throughout the years, but a lot of scientists reached out to him with tech to help him maintain his hearing and prevent him from further hearing loss. So he's gone through like surgeries, and he has like all this, he's probably wearing like a hearing aid, but yeah, he's fine. He's good to go now.
It's funny because he went through all this tech stuff, right? And then it all turned out all he needed was a drop of oil from Joey Belladonna's hair. And just went right in his ear. And just like that, he could hear again.
It's a fucking cure-all.
Yeah, it's an elixir of sorts.
Sneak oil.
Yeah, and not only is Johnson back in the band, a longtime drummer Phil Rudd back in the band, who you might remember was dismissed after being arrested for like meth use and hiring a sex worker, and like then even on probation he got arrested for more drug use. Like, he just didn't give a fuck. Great guy, Phil Rudd.
So how did he make amends to them?
Well, he had his court dates. And just, you know, his legal troubles are a thing of the past, I guess.
Oh, so he was only out of the band because he had court dates? Like,
I guess. I think also he might have not been able to tour. Like, he might have been put under house arrest or something like that.
But now nobody's able to tour. What does it matter?
It's true.
Well, that's why he's back in the band.
Like, it doesn't matter, so come on back.
He got arrested at the wrong time. He should have made it coincide with COVID.
Yeah, right.
It would have been it wouldn't even make the news.
Yeah.
I believe that there was a rumor that the band was going to do a huge world tour this summer. They were about to announce it right before Live Nation canceled all those tours. So that was another one. They were going to have a big world tour. Maybe their final world tour.
And they're not going to be like Fozzy or any of these bands, like playing Grand Rapids, Michigan, or wherever the fuck.
No.
Fargo, North Dakota.
No, they play stadiums. So until stadiums open up, they want those giant, you know, $10 million guarantees, or I'm sure even more probably.
Will these guys live long enough to tour?
The only one way to find out.
Sturgis? That's pretty big.
But even that, it's not like there's one like Sturgis event with 450,000 people at it. It's just there's 450,000 people in the town and multiple events going on at once.
I got
but
it.
But no way. AC/DC is not like, first of all, it's not like they play every, like they're not playing New York, then New Jersey, then Pennsylvania, then whatever. They'll play a big show in New York, like the stadium in New York, the stadium in Philly. You know, they're just going to the major markets. And I'm sure the ticket prices would be insane.
The major markets and Philly, you mean?
That's a major one.
Just kidding. Come on. Let me dunk on Philly a little bit.
I don't like it.
Oh. Spoil sport.
Let's see what else is going on here. Do we talk about Donald Trump's favorite music video of all time?
Yeah.
So
November Rain.
On air. Yeah. Yes, it was. I think.
Yes, we did. Okay, great. Okay, great. I did also want to point out, a few weeks ago we talked about Mustaine talking about Nick Menza and Marty Friedman. And he was talking about how Marty Friedman wanted like way too much stuff. And then like we were like listening for like what he wanted, and what he wanted was first class airfare and just money for the rest of, like enough money to cover the rest of his band, since he wouldn't be able to tour with his band since he'd be touring with Megadeth.
In other words, nothing ridiculous to ask for.
Right. So what actually happened right after we did the show, like the next day or two, I forgot to mention this, but Friedman was interviewed Let's see. Who was he interviewed by?
Dave Mustaine.
Turbo.
Okay, let's say he was interviewed by Turbo. So Marty gave his side of it. So I just want to read what he said. And it's exactly what we thought. Spoiler alert. My main thing was I'd be happy to do it, but I'm not going to take less money than I'm already making to do it. Sounds fair. I've been in Japan for more than 10 years, cultivating a career with solid rewards. I was making money not only for myself, but also my management and staff. My manager has been with me for 15 years. Everything was sound and solid professionally, and when the offer came up to all of a sudden join Megadeth, as long as I would not be making less money, I was ready to go. But I was certainly not going to take a loss to join a band that, frankly, at that point, didn't seem like they had too much to offer musically. A couple of members of the band had recently quit, and musically, I hadn't heard anything that they had done in a long time. I didn't know about how relevant they continued to be in the music business. It wasn't like Megadeth was on the tips of people's tongues, at least not in Japan. I had just reached a point where people stopped immediately connecting me to Megadeth and were talking about the things that I had done in Japan. And now the article writes, according to Friedman, part of the reason he turned out of the Megadeth reunion is the fact that the group was largely seen as Mustaine's solo project with members coming and going every couple of albums. He's quoted, had it been more of a band situation and not such a one-man Dave Mustaine main man party, I might have considered doing it for a little less. But at the end of the day, Megadeth is so much Mustaine because that's the way he engineered it. I didn't feel that kind of camaraderie, the four-man diamond, like Beatles, Kiss, or Metallica. I felt like I would be going out there and tour, and it was going to be Mustaine's big success. If I'm going to do that, I'm certainly not going to lose money doing that. I was doing great on my own in Japan. So to read between the lines here, it sounds like Dave Mustaine was, I feel like I said this exact thing when we were originally talking about this. Dave Mustaine was going to pay him as a session guy. He wasn't giving him, like, it's not like he was giving him a quarter of all of Megadeth's revenue. Dave Mustaine was going to make all of Megadeth's revenue, and then he's like, I'm going to pay you this much, and that's it. So Marty Friedman's take is like, well, if I'm not like an equal partner in this, I'm not going to lose money. I'm already used to such a lifestyle. So if you want me to join, be an employee of your business, you have to pay me this amount. So I think everything Marty Friedman said is completely reasonable.
Well, he's right about one thing. I got to admit, I haven't been on the tip of anyone's tongue in years.
Oh, no.
I got to get some.
Not even any of those dogs?
I'm getting pent up. Said, how dare you? I'd never touch a dog in an intimate way like that.
The dog licks your face and loves you.
Well, this is a peanut butter situation. Taint area.
Captain Crunch.
But I wouldn't put it there on purpose.
No, his dog anyway.
I think that Marty Friedman's answer is very commendable and also shows how much integrity he has in his work.
Yeah,
and I'm proud of him.
Yeah, also, I thought it was very diplomatic. Other than saying the Megadeth not being on, like, I guess that could be considered shade, but.
Yeah, there's no considering that was 100% shade.
His position on the work issue is commendable. But I think he had to get a little needle in there, Dave, or with four or five.
But ultimately, I feel like what. It was shade, but, you know, it wasn't a read. It's true.
I think he's as much of a douchebag as Dave Mustaine is. I think there's no winners here. Listen, so his point is, I want more to do less work, but if they wanted me to do more work, I'd take less money. So if it was like a band situation where I was having equal input and effort, I'd take less money for that. But to just show up and play stuff that's written for me, I want more money? It makes no fucking sense.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying, these are my demands. Like, if this is how your band is structured, these are my demands. If the structure of the band were different, I would be willing to take less money.
But the difference in the structure would be that he'd have more responsibility.
Or just more say in the music, or more say in anything.
And probably earn more from that.
Well, also the difference in the structure is that he's getting paid like a session jerk off. So that's why the money is lower in the first
place. I also don't for a second believe he would have been losing money. I think there's a lot of creative accounting there. So he could say, just like baseball teams that claim they're losing money, like you're not really losing money. Maybe if you factor in the loss that like your personal roadies for your other work and your agent for your other work don't get, then overall, that's a loss of money, but he personally would not have been losing
money.
So
you're giving Dave Mustaine the benefit of the doubt here?
I think they're both assholes.
Okay.
And they're just like, it's an asshole contest. And also, like, to say that he's more famous somehow without Megadeth, like, maybe in Japan, little bubble.
That
but,
is what
like, Dave was giving you a chance to return to relevancy in the rest of the fucking world to a certain degree.
But he
and if you don't
it.
Want that,
he
okay, fine.
He's happy where he is.
Yeah.
Then why are we even talking about it? Why did he even consider
because
the offer?
Because it's good
then?
Drama, Sid.
Sure. But, like, then
well,
why did he consider
about it
the offer?
Somebody asked him.
Was Marty Friedman even, like, influencing the band in that way when he was in the band? Like, was he writing any fucking songs or anything? Or just
he was writing
solos.
Just
solos, right?
Guitar licks.
Yeah.
So that's like...
Well, what should he be writing?
I don't know. Did he could contribute lyrics or whatever, but it's just
yeah,
not that kind of band, though.
And,
yeah.
And, like, was this just for, like, a reunion tour, or was this to fully be back in the band and, like, do new music?
It was for both. They wanted to do a reunion tour and then do a new album.
Mm. Okay. Well, because for, like, if it was just a reunion tour, then, like, I assume that they'd just be playing the stuff that he, from the albums he was on anyway, right? Why would people show up to a reunion
tour? Well, yeah,
tour
the idea would be
stuff?
To do a...
Because it's a great
idea.
Lineup, and it probably enticed people to buy tickets. That are probably like,
but not to hear the new stuff. You want to hear the stuff from when that lineup was originally together.
Yeah, they were going
to
play Rust in Peace in full, I think. And I feel like because it would be that lineup, if it was the four guys, they could have probably charged more money because the interest would have been higher.
Yeah.
I got to say, I'm very disappointed they didn't get this album together because I was like very much looking forward to hearing it the first four tracks once and then never playing it.
Or just like hearing them argue through the whole album.
Oh, that gets
I think
left
it would have
in.
Been good. Marty Friedman's solo stuff is really good. So it could have been really fun. I don't know about, I haven't really followed Menza after he left Megadeth.
I said, come in on the two, you fucking dew claw.
Rob, I don't think you have to follow him that much. He's just in a hole somewhere.
Oh, I meant dead, before
like,
he died.
Oh. Never mind.
I found out who they got to replace Marty.
Mikey Bibble.
that guy works for nothing.
Yeah, Mikey Bibble's all
you don't care.
What? Maybe
Mikey
Bibble is who gave
yes
gave Sharon Osbourne's granddaughter COVID.
Yes.
Mikey Bibble.
He was mad that Ozzy kept taking all the credit. He kept saying, you know, it wasn't Mikey Bibble, it was him. Mikey Bibble is the guy that discovered the life-saving oil in Joey Belladonna's hair.
Mikey
like the
Bibble.
Selling of metal.
Yeah. He's like Bill Brasky from the SNL sketch. Done everything.
So Mikey Bibble!
Mikey Bibble.
Oh, my God.
Bless. Well, to another Mike, another friend of the show, Mike Francesa. Darren, you shared this. We've been talking about the hot new Cardi B hit.
Okay.
lodge.
What's the point?
What a great impression.
But you should say that is not actually.
That is not Mike Francesa, but he really nailed it. Like, even down to the, okay.
All right. Well, and N-word. I'm not going to say that word because I don't want to get in trouble.
You just got to go to Long Island. You'll hear a bunch of Mike Francesas.
Yeah. But this is the ultimate reading, and it's not a Manscaped ad. There we go. It's Gilbert Gottfried. Also, can't believe this guy's still around. He was on VH1 back then.
Look at how messy his closet is. Wait, hold on. Look at how messy his closet is.
Who is that?
What's his name?
That's old Duff. DJ. I forget his name.
Booker?
No.
Kane?
No.
Judd the Fish?
No.
It's not in the comments, Rob.
I'll look him up.
Ricky?
Too bad it's not in the description to give him credit.
So good. Beautiful.
Dr.
Has somebody set that to like hardcore music yet? Because come on, that's like, those are like metal vocals. Come on,
you're
that's
right.
Fantastic.
We are going to need a Metal Injection live cast star.
That's Where's Jumpman Hat?
Yes.
Any of you budding audio engineers, please do that, and we'll send you a nice little prize. How about that?
You'll just post about it on Metal Injection.
And I will. That'll be another prize. By the way, the VJ DJ is Jim Shearer, former host of VH1's Top 20 Countdown, and was also on MTV2. I remember.
So it wasn't Crazy Cabby.
Is that guy still alive?
Kane?
Kane.
I said Kane, alive. God damn it.
Isn't Crazy Cabby in prison or something? He went to jail at some point.
He had like drug issues.
Wow, his name is Lee Mrozak. Last name Mrozak. Mrozak.
That surprises you?
I guess he does look pretty bullish.
Wow. Rob, with the subtle ethnic racism there.
Racial profile.
What?
Yeah.
He looks Polish.
Russian people hate Polish people. It's always been true.
They also hate Mongolians. In fact,
also to be clear, my mom isn't Russian. My mom is Ukrainian. All right, show some respect.
Still better than Polish, though, right, Rob?
You Belarusian piece of shit.
Well,
aggression towards Belarusians, too, now.
Yeah, I hate Belarusians. Polish people, I'm fine with.
Hate is such a strong word,
but
Rob.
But there's Bellas. Fuck the Bellas.
Wasn't that your mom's Tinder profile name? Bella Russian?
My mom's Russian name.
Only know
Bella.
A sample of one Bella Russian. You hate him, so it's kind of...
I think we're going to get reprimanded after this.
Oh, by our program director?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
by our program director.
Fine. I'm reading this Crazy Cabby...
You said you're really pushing it right now.
I mean, this Crazy Cabby thing.
Don't give me any of your Bolshevik.
You know what's funny? Before we started the show, I was just trying to look for like an old K-Rock background. Like I just wanted an old like K-Rock studio or like VCR studio where we started in our college radio, but I couldn't. This is it. I just found this. I don't know what it is.
It's like 1010 Winds from 1964.
Yeah. So what are you reading, Rob?
Oh, that Cabby was in jail in 2004 for tax evasion, and he said he refused to pay taxes until the government cured him of his Gulf War syndrome.
Have they yet?
I guess not.
You got some of Joey Bell down his hair. All right. Put that away in the chest now.
Oh, wow. Potion. So an IRS employee happened to be listening to the show when he admitted this fucking idiot on the air,
yep.
and then reported him, and that's how he got arrested.
Remember Howard Stern talking about that.
The crazy thing is Cavi didn't even fight in the war. He was just really bummed out by all the news coverage. I don't know.
Gulf War syndrome.
The Gulf War was really tough on
Oh,
me.
The Great Gulf War. It's a wide range of acute and chronic symptoms, including fatigue, muscle pain, cognitive problems, insomnia, rashes, and diarrhea. And approximately 250,000 of the 700,000 U.S. veterans who served were afflicted with the chronic multi-symptom illness.
How many of them were also in some kind of monster? Mm-hmm. Only crazy cabbie.
That's nice. Government sends you off to war, gets you sick, and doesn't do anything about it. Very classic. I guess it's due to uranium in the area and antidotes of nerve gas. Bunch of other stuff. You could look it up on Wikipedia for yourself.
Cheerful. Some light reading for after the show.
Yes.
Run the gamut here.
Yeah.
Murder in the beginning, murder laws. And
I wonder what he's doing now. I mean, he is out of jail.
Probably has a podcast. He definitely has a podcast, right?
Probably constantly calling Kane for work, and Kane is just, you know, hanging out, like immediately goes to voicemail.
What does Kane do? He's probably just as available.
No, we looked him up a few years ago, I remember.
He's fine.
Yeah, he has a morning drive show in Minnesota, which is
really Noah, cool. You pronounced that wrong. He's fine.
I mean, he looks pretty good for his age, I'd say that.
There you go. How are the hands, though?
Oh, the hands, no.
I remember they were big, so it's okay.
I heard he took over Frankie Palmieri's time slot on the Anchor Podcast Network.
Is he doing new episodes? We haven't checked in with that. Maybe next week.
I looked not too long ago, and there the last one was April, but there could be another one since then. I don't know. I'll look right now. April. Still April.
Okay. Let's see. What else is going on in the world? Noah, how are you doing? Last week, we ended the show on a bit of a down note, kind of a downer.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the unfortunate passing of permanent livecast mascot Bruno. So,
yeah.
How has the last week been for you?
I think last week I was okay, like probably better than you'd expect, just because of Darren just changed his picture to Bruno. All of the support I got. And we did a fundraiser for him that we reached our goal of $2,500 in 2 days.
Awesome.
Now it's still going. If anyone wants to go, if anyone wants to contribute, it's inmemoryofbruno.com. And the money that we're raising, the bet was like, this is the most humbling thing to happen in my career.
Aww.
He was so it feels really good to be able to do something charitable in Bruno's honor, and I really, really appreciate all of the live cast listeners who have commented, have contributed. There was like the first comment that I got on that on the GoFundMe page was from Kyle, and it made me laugh so hard, and I really want to read it. Okay, he goes, one of my favorite memories of Bruno is when he was put in front of a mic on the live cast and he started chewing on the mic and you could hear his joy-filled dog breath as he took a chomp. Also, every time he farted, it would derail the show for a minimum of 60 seconds. While only hearing him on air, you could tell he always lightened up the room with his presence and how truly happy he made Noah, as I'm sure she made him just as happy, if not more. He will be missed but never forgotten. Rest in peace, Bruno. All love, Noah. Which is so sweet.
He lit up the room with his ass, too.
Yeah.
Ass.
It was a very good choice of words. And in like a lot of the comments that I got on like my Instagram and stuff, which I so appreciate, and my Facebook page where I posted it, people like a lot of the live cast listeners pointed out that they enjoyed hearing his stories, which warmed my heart. And also, like, they referenced his farts. So Bruno's fart has been smelled around the world.
Yeah. For us.
And Aki, Noah, I'm so sorry to hear about Bruno. Truly the fifth member of the live cast. He will be missed.
Sean was the sixth.
Yeah.
Who? And then we got a listener email, which I thought, like, should I read or should I just respond to it? Or do you want to read it?
Well, if you read it on air and respond to it now, you don't have to send an email later.
Yeah, okay. So this is from Rob. Very sorry to hear about Bruno's passing. Regarding getting a new dog, everyone says they're not ready yet. It might take a while. But I think it helps not to think of how sad it is that Bruno is gone from this world, but to think about how happy you made him and how amazing a life he had because of you. And then think of all the other dogs trapped in the kennels, possibly waiting to be put down, and think about how happy you can make one of them too by inviting them into a loving home. Of course you love Bruno, and I'm not saying move on and forget about him. Just think about how happy you could make another dog instead of feeling sad over the passing of your last one. I hope that came across okay. I'm not always as eloquent with my wording as I'd like. It did come across just fine. So I got to say, it really sucks being in a house without a dog. I really miss it. I'm probably going to get another dog. But at the same token, I do have a little bit more freedom to do things that I kind of put on hold, like traveling or... I don't know, just going on a bike ride because I felt too guilty for being outside without taking Bruno, so I just take him on a walk instead. So there are a couple of things that I want to do that might be selfish on my part, but very self-rewarding.
Fucking on the living room floor.
Fucking on the living room without getting dog hair in my poop,
yep.
My puss.
Oh, my God. Wow. I didn't think you'd take it there. Wow. All right.
Well,
would
you speak from experience?
That's the sound of Noah's queefs after.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Can't tell, but I am on the floor right now, pantless.
Oh, my God.
Pooping out farts. Pooping
out
dog
claw?
Hair farts. Wait, are you white clawing?
Yeah. Mango.
Oh my gosh.
Mango.
Do you get buzzed from it? Like, you feel anything?
A little bit. Not as much as I used to.
What
I'm
does
pounding
that
them shits now.
Enlighten me, a non-drinker.
It's just like a hard seltzer.
Yeah, it just tastes like flavored seltzer. Like, you don't really even... taste the alcohol?
Is that because there isn't
the alcohol,
any alcohol or hardly any or what?
No, I think there's just as much as a beer. It's 4%.
Wow.
5%.
You better watch it, Sid. You might end up on the floor getting cat hair in your pooper.
Yeah. Oh, no. Wouldn't be the first time.
It is funny, like, back in the day, I feel like in the early 90s, everyone mocked Zima. Like, Zima was like the ultimate punchline of, like,
I loved Zima.
Of, like, what a pussy you are, or whatever. Or, like, you're not a real man if you drink that. And then, like,
especially in the Russian community.
Eventually, that kind of, I feel like then the late 90s came Smirnoff Ice and Mike's Hard Lemonade. And, like, that became the new thing to mock. Like, oh, you know. And I remember when I first started drinking. Really, still, for the most part, beer is disgusting.
I hate beer.
There are very, very few beers that, like, I've drank them and thought, wow, this tastes great.
You need
and
to, like, hang out with a beer connoisseur, even though, like, I mostly
people
agree
are insufferable.
No, I'm not saying I've tried a lot of beers.
Richard
Noah.
Christie? Go drinking with Richard Christie.
Yeah,
no,
I did go drinking with Richard Christie. There's a video about it.
Wow.
Is it on
Lamb
Goat? Is it on Lamb Goat?
Actually, I spoke to Richard about it. He gave me some tips. And also even Johan from Amon Amarth, we talked about it when he came on the show last year. I like Hefeweizens because they're just like a light beer and they don't taste super like beer. Or I like Like I've really gotten into grapefruit beer or just like any fruity beer, but that's really just spiked fruit juice, I realize. Like it's not really beer.
Beer tastes to me like what I would imagine piss tastes like with carbonation.
Yes, I agree with you.
I guess. I don't know.
Why don't you drink your piss and tell us what that tastes like?
Because I don't want to.
No, there's no benefit to me.
At least you get me buzzed.
No, no. Fill a soda stream bottle with your piss. Then seltzer it. Carbonate it, rather.
This already has bubbles in it, man.
What am I getting out of this? I already know that.
It's an experiment for the show.
I already know it'll taste like shit, and I know that beer tastes like shit because it tastes like what I think piss tastes like. So why would I want
to
take it?
Yeah, like I don't like any IPAs. I don't like any pale. I don't like the bitter beers. I prefer
sour beers are okay.
Even sour beers, I feel like you can only really have one at most. You know, you can't get slosh on sour beer. You're going to have...
I'm sure people do.
Yeah. I mean, people get slosh on anything. I don't know. But
bring
so,
back Bartles and James. That's what I say.
The point
people
I was trying to make...
on Listerine.
If I could bring it back to my point, talking about Zima and Smirnoff Ice, is that, like, I feel like with White Claw, it was, like, the first time that, like, a non-beer... like hit the mainstream of like, oh, this is cool. Everyone's drinking White Claw now. And now it's like, everyone finally was like, oh yeah, beer does suck. We don't have to drink beer. We could just drink these spiked seltzers. And there's way less calories. There's way less carbs.
I think that's really what it's more about is the health.
Right.
Aspect.
Well, I think it also, it's
is
tied
that how
into
they market
also,
it?
Yeah. It's also tied into, like how people moved away from drinking soda in the last few years, like how it's kind of like, oh, you shouldn't really drink soda. I think that also helped White Claw.
And every brand has it. It's not White. Bud has it. Corona has it. There's all these new brands of it.
Right.
Well, it's simply because
White Claw did such a great job that all these other brands are like, well, you know, we have these factories. We can make this shit. It's just water and malt liquor. You know, they have all the ingredients already. So how hard is it to do?
Dude, Rob, I'm don't drink, as you know, but I do play poker and I am kind of immersed in drinking culture, like by force when I'm at a casino or a club. And I never perceived that Mike's Hard Lemonade and all that stuff was considered pussy. Like I always thought.
Well, Zima. Mike's Hard.
Zima, yes. Zima for sure.
Smirnoff Ice also, because then there was that whole meme thing in the mid-aughts of like being iced, which is if somebody, like if you, like somebody put wrapped a gift and you open up and it's a Smirnoff Ice, you have to get on one knee and down that Smirnoff Ice right then and there. And that was treated as a punishment. You're not rewarded by downing a Smirnoff Ice. You had to like, so I think it was still there. It wasn't as like, you know, intense as Zima.
I agree with that. I never saw Mike's Hard Lemonade being put into that stigma. Like
it's
I always
just like
see,
a girly drink.
But I would always see hard fucking drinkers, people that have Jack Daniels or whatever kind of whiskey or fucking Kettle One or whatever, they would say, I'm not in the mood to go hard today. I'm going to have a Mike's. Like, is that a weird thing? Am I just in the wrong place? Because they would always say it's like the day.
Maybe it's
day.
An age thing. Maybe like old, like I feel like with younger people, there was definitely like, but also it's just like a joke. People making a joke like, oh, you're such a pussy. Have a beer. You're such a pussy. Yeah, whatever.
That was my gateway drink into beer. Like, I think that's how I started drinking. It was just, I remember like
more palatable.
Right. Like just getting used to alcohol through something soft, like Mike's Hard Lemonade.
But it wasn't, Mike's Hard is just as, I think it might have 3%. Alcohol as opposed to 5%, you know, so it's not like you can't get sloshed on it. Really, what was the downside of it was there's so much sugar that in order to get drunk, you have to consume so much sugar that you get a sugar crash after, which messes with your drunk. You don't want that.
Right.
It makes the hangover intense.
Yeah.
Oh, you watched the movie while you were drinking Mike's? Is that one?
Nope.
I guess we also have a voicemail.
Ooh.
Oh, we haven't had those in a while. How can people leave us voicemails, though?
Well, we love your feedback. Any and all feedback. please send us some feedback.
How? How do they do it? How?
Send it already.
Just send it.
Just send it. Go to email us at hatemail@metalinjection.net. You can email us a traditional email, a little message like we read from Rob earlier. Or you could email a voice recording, like use your phone to do a voice memo and email us that. And that way we could play your voice on our show. Or if you listen live, you can give us a call, 213-WIDE-NUT. 213-943-3688. We're on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So we got this one from Dane. I actually got this a few weeks ago, but I forgot to play it.
Okay.
Well, let me just cue this up right here. But thank you, Dane, for reaching out to us. He's a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah, and he's also in our Discord chat where you can mm-hmm. talk to pretty much
that's right.
These three guys, and then sometimes I'll pop in there when I remember to.
We should mention that as well. We don't mention that enough, that we have a Discord. You can get the link on any livecast episode page. Discord is a app with chatting, so you can join our chat server. Sid and Darren are on all the time. I check in at least once a day. Noah checks in at least once every 3 months. And
just we have forget about it.
We have a bunch of different categories. There's just, you know, the episode discussion. We have a music discussion. We have a very heated politics chat room and a very fun little wrestling chat room. So definitely hit up our Discord if you want to chat with us while we're not doing the show and, like, actually interact with us, a little back and forth.
Yeah.
You can also DM us. You can slide into our DMs.
Are you asking for that, Noah? Is that something you want?
I'm suggesting it.
Would you sign on more?
Right. No, because I don't get notifications.
Turn those on.
No. Have you watched The Social Dilemma? I'm not your friend until you watch it. I'm not talking to you.
I don't need to watch it. I know everything that they discuss in there.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Tell him something he doesn't know.
Yeah, what don't I know?
I always think of you whenever I'm like, oh, I don't care if they know my information. Cause you've always like your answer and you're like the most web savvy guy that I know and mm-hmm. app savvy guy. Right. Mm-hmm. So you always go, why do I, you know, so what if they have my information? So what if they know what I buy? So what if that doctor's app has my DNA, what are they going to do with it? Well, that documentary taught me what they do with it. And they
basically I know what they do
with change it. Your personality.
How do they change your personality?
No, you got to watch it.
My personality hasn't changed in 30 years, Noah. Good luck. Good fucking luck, all you apps. Bring it on.
Come on, apps. Please change his personality. I talk to this guy once a week.
Therapy can't do it. A fucking app ain't going to do it. Fuck out of
so
here.
So you're saying getting alerts from our fans about Discord messages will change your personality, Noah?
No, just getting that hit of dopamine, which is addictive.
Oh, yeah. No, that I know.
Will make me want to use the phone more and go and look at all these social media apps that they manipulate to see certain things.
How do they manufacture dopamine?
No, you get a dopamine rush every time you get an alert. Cause it's like
scientifically proven.
It's like if you have an addictive personality,
response.
It's the feel good hormone. Or response, whatever it is.
Dopamine is. I just didn't know how they were.
If somebody out there is still feeling good from social media, I don't know them.
Well, that,
I don't think
that's exactly
over.
It.
No, it's like when you post the status and like you keep checking if anybody liked it. Like when you see somebody like it, you get like a little hit of dopamine in your brain. And so the apps encourage you to like do interact in ways where you get more dopamine in.
Right.
Like where you get more alerts to get more dopamine hits and people get more addicted and sucked into it.
I'll just say one more thing. It's like the reason why I stay away from a Dorito, for example, like that potato chip is manufactured like down to the crisp to make your ear enjoy the sound of it as you chew. Like people have sat in a conference room to design this app specifically to get you addicted to it. And it's just unethical.
That is true. But I do rewire my programming, and you want to know how I do it? So I can eat Doritos. I soak them overnight in Joey Belladonna.
So, Noah, did you turn off all your app notifications? Did you turn off your Twitter and Instagram notifications?
I have no notification. The only ones that I have are from, like my messages, like my iMessage, but I can't see what's written in it.
Not even GChat?
No notifications.
That's not social media. That's just like your podcast co-host asking you a question that needs a timely answer sometimes.
Yeah, how do you know that we're messaging you?
I go and I check the app, or I have it open in my email. When I work, I have my
email
open.
Okay, see? Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah, I've been limiting my notifications as well. Also, on Apple products, they have screen time. And I've been trying to look at that to, like, really just be like, geez, Rob.
But here's the thing, man. That's part of the screen time. You looking at your screen time is screen time. That's how they fucking get you.
It's true. But then I see that, you know, I've spent 6 hours or 8 hours in the week on Twitter. And it's like, oh, I could probably.
Isn't that like business for you? That's like your job.
Sure, part of it. But the other part is just I'm on the toilet. Reading Twitter.
Sometimes in the morning, you'll send like a tweet or something that you see to our group chat, and it's like, and I look at the time of when you sent it. It's like 7 a.m. and I'm like, already Rob is on Twitter.
What do you mean already? What do you do when you're taking a shit?
At 7 a.m.
You practice
take a shit at 7 a.m.
BJJ kit.
I don't understand.
In the morning,
I wake up and I go to the bathroom. That's the first thing that I do, and I open my phone.
No, I don't do that.
What do you do?
I go to the bathroom and I concentrate on getting my poop out and cleaning properly.
But like you have said, like myself, that you like to spend a good amount of time on the toilet, right? So you don't have anything to read while you're on the toilet?
So
it brings Dostoevsky in there.
My pooping routine has changed drastically in quarantine. To several times and shorter hits. Mm-hmm. So I don't.
Who's hitting you in the pooper, Noah?
It's not like you even have time. Most of my well, I guess I have Twitter open all day, like when I'm working, but that's, I don't have to have it open, but I consider that part of my job. Just to, like,
quit whenever you want to.
Be on top of, I'm absolutely addicted to the internet. I fully, or like addicted to my phone, like what everything is in the social level. Like I've already self-diagnosed and kind of like, I will absolutely watch, and I will have very strong opinions on what they're talking about. But I have tried to limit it basically. So for example, I have an interview. It's not scheduled yet, but with Rob Halford about his autobiography. And I have to read his autobiography before talking to him. And so they sent me a physical copy of the book, which I have.
And you're trying to flick the pages by going like this with your finger up and down?
Here's the book. It's Vince McMahon. But anyway, I had it for like 2 weeks and I didn't even read a page. And it's like, it's almost felt like procrastinating, like, oh, you know, I have to make time to read the book. So then I asked for the digital version of the book, like a PDF. And I told myself that, like, when I find myself, oh no, Joey Valadao is on the screen.
He's going to eat Darren.
Darren, you can put your head right on it. Look like your hair.
On it.
So I've been trying, long story short, instead of checking Twitter on the toilet, I've been reading his book on the toilet. So I'm trying to use that time more productively.
I've done the same thing.
And it's a great book.
I've done the same thing with my library app. Like every time I get like an urge to like tap Instagram or like just tap an app and open it, I just open up my book app and read. Mm-hmm. Nerd alert.
There we go. All right.
I have
well,
a voicemail.
Have the voicemail ready. It's from Dane.
No, whatever. You know, of course you don't respond. You know, you don't even give it the time of day. A fucking guy's denying reality as we speak, man. Shit. This is a sad time to live in, you know? Anyway. Known in the chat as well. He's from Chicago. And, I'm from Chicago as well. And, before Rob made shows illegal there, you know, I was hoping I could, you know, see this guy at a show. So maybe one day, you know, if we ever have shows again, you know, Yanda, I'll see you there, you know, say hi, how you doing, you know, and then immediately break your back, fuck your ass. And before I make you humble, though, to go to my car, get my best pair of steel-toe boots, and then cunt punt you across the room like the bitch you are. All right. Have a good day now.
All right.
Lots to unpack.
Yeah. I mean, he's committed to it. At least. He didn't give up.
The beginning part of that was about the Fantasy Baseball League, I believe.
I didn't catch that.
And people not responding to trade offers.
Oh, I missed that.
Which we're in the last week of that. Darren is in a heated race for first place against one of our listeners.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh. Wait, what's going on with Fantasy League?
We're separated by half a point. It's with 5-6 days to go, something like that. Last day of the season is the 27th, Sunday.
Barn burner.
Okay, this is probably a stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it football or baseball?
Baseball.
Well, football just started. Baseball's
okay.
About to head towards the playoffs shortly.
It's crazy to me that football is not even pretending to do any sort of bubble. Are they even doing testing?
They're not doing a bubble. The different teams are handling it differently, I think. Like some of them are even allowing fans in to the stadium. I don't know.
Yeah, I have seen that. Some Jacksonville and Kansas City.
There are six teams that are either allowing a handful of fans or two teams allowing like 10 over 10,000 fans into the games. Everyone else has said either no, definitely not this year, or no for now and reassess later in the year.
Hmm. And it's only 16 weeks. It's not like it's a long season.
Well, I mean,
plus the playoffs.
It's
right?
The same length as the other sports, except that the basketball and the hockey were already through their season, so it's less of a time to do it. You know,
the basketball season is 16 weeks. It's more
it's
games,
around
though.
There, yeah. It's around there, plus the playoffs, but they had already completed it pre-COVID. So they
for the most part, yeah.
And basketball, they were in a bubble. They basically all traveled to Disney. They said they're not going to do that again, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They don't want to. This morning, the commissioner said that they're going to be back till January, and they're hoping to maybe have fans. They're not planning on it being a bubble. But
it will be in the arenas.
Knows? Yeah. But who knows?
Yeah. And how's baseball doing? Any more insane outbreaks?
There have been no insane outbreaks, but every week or so you'll hear a team had a couple of cases or something. And then that team sits out and then they play doubleheaders to make it up.
Yeah.
Wait, so then they have COVID and then the players get over COVID in a certain amount of time and they're fine to play?
They test positive. They have to keep getting tested like every day after they test positive. To see if it was a false positive or whatever.
Mm.
And as soon as they test negative, they have like a 2-day window. And then that player can come back. But the team itself, which I think is insane, doesn't have a mandatory like layoff once they have a positive test. All that has to happen is everyone on the team tests negative and
back
they get to play again.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous because you can test negative and carry it. You could have been infected by this player. So I just think it's hilariously awful what they're doing, but they've gotten away with it so far. There's been no catastrophe. Yeah. The real scary thing is that when the playoffs start, which is, I believe, next Monday, they are doing a bubble. They're doing four stadiums are going to house all of the playoffs, the two in California, two in Texas.
Well, is that right away or is that once the second round starts?
I thought it was the first round. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think the first round, it's all at the higher seeded team stadium.
Oh.
And then from there, after, like second round on, it'll be a bubble.
Well, whenever it is, though, my issue with that is what are they going to do? Are they going to wait 2 weeks before starting these bubble games? Because you could bring something in undetected, and then in the middle of the NLCS, you'll have 17 people have COVID.
Yeah.
And then
isn't there a 2 week period? I guess that's the Super Bowl because the Pro Bowl is in between it. Yeah, I guess.
Look at you with the football knowledge.
But baseball, interestingly enough, is not having off days this year. They're just going to play the playoffs straight through. because they're in a bubble. There's no travel days or anything. But yeah, it's just very strange. Like, you know, they're not the whole point of a bubble, which the NHL and the NBA both did, is that you get everyone in there. They wait 2 weeks. They keep testing them. They basically live there. It's like a campus.
Yeah.
And then you know nobody has anything, and then you don't let anybody in or out. So what is the point of a bubble if you're bringing in all these people and not giving them that two-week cushion to make sure they don't have anything?
It just sounds good. They just now they could say, yeah, we're doing the bubble. It's not the same at all, but yeah, it's going to be great.
Huge clusterfuck. Yeah. I just, you know, they're getting very lucky. They've gotten very lucky up to this point.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, on that note, I think that there's just one thing left to do.
Got to leave, got to say goodbye for now.
Got to leave, and we got to say goodbye to our top five cast fan of the week.
I see you
can be a top five cast fan of the week by subscribing to our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionpodcast, and for the $10, you get a shout out at the end of the show. Also, the $10 tier.
Oh, crap, lower the music.
The $10 tier also has access. You could also do the $10 tier for a year if you're feeling you got money burning a hole in your pocket. And you get the 15% discount. So that's patreon.com/metalinjectionpodcast. We got Eric as our top podcast fan of the week.
Who?
Rob-a-ganoush.
Oh, good. Say it louder, Rob.
Yeah.
Rob-a-ganoush.
Loud and proud.
Said turn the music down, not yourself. Son of a bitch.
I want to do it. I recently watched the assassination of Gianni Versace. It was an FX series.
I watched it. So good.
I disagree.
Oh, wait. Okay, maybe I don't remember
the Versace one. You saw the Versace one? Or
Ricky
the,
Martin?
Ricky Martin was in it, Penelope Cruz?
Oh, no. It was a different... It was like a series.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a mini-series. It was like 8 episodes. But anyway.
There was no Ricky Martin in it.
Okay, then it was different. But so Penelope Cruz plays Donatella Versace, and she does the funny accent. So I would like to do it. So just to give you an example, she'd be like, Gianni. It's like she was doing like the Maya Rudolph Donatella Versace.
Yeah.
Gianni, what are you doing? So with that said, let me do the top podcast friend of the week. We have Eric, Rob-a-ganoush, aka Justin. Benjamin, Elder Delino, Dan R, you are the beauty, Castle Dika, Mindy Mayer's Kipper, Croc Destroyer, Sam, I am, I is, Jander. Chassou-Chassou-Zet. LaCroix. The Crustacean Temptation, aka Godstomper. Ash Vazhelov. Dallas.
This just sounds like if Mama Rabba was a vampire.
Love a vampire. We have a shame. Hugo, why are you like the tacos? Hugo. Araba, if she was held the jerk off. Hey, it's Josh. Our live cast fans of the week. Thank you. And thank you to all of our live cast stars for listening. We'll be back next week. 6:30 p.m. Eastern for a brand new episode. You could have always check out the archives. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're all over the place. Please check us out. Give us a rating. Give us a review. It helps our ranking. It helps our listing. And don't you want to help us? Please. All right, we're out.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
said he was doing something weird with his hand.
I was trying to get some oil out of Joey Belladonna's hair.
Is that going to be the name of the episode, Joey Belladonna's hair?
Sure. All right. Cool.
Oh, wait, Sid. I don't know why the hell the thing wasn't picking up my mic, but I unplugged it from the box, the XLR from the actual box.
I tried that, and I don't think it made a difference.
Do you maybe have your mic knob pushed in?
I tried it both ways.
Okay. Damn.
I'll sign on early next week and we'll try to figure it out.
All
but
right.
It might just be like a thing where like only one of the two works and I just need to make sure it's the mic and not the headphones. Somehow. I don't know.
Ideally it should do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll figure it
that
out.
That was weird. Should we do a room for the guests? I don't know. It's like a little awkward for them to be there while we're having technical difficulties.
Yeah, when they sign in that early, especially, and they're like sitting there for 15 minutes with us before the show starts.
That happened with Kyle and with Aria.
Tried to make.
Yeah, I just turned off the waiting room completely so that like we could just come in so that you guys don't have to wait for me to log in. But I could turn it on when we have
for guests. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe on a day we have guests. We'll just remind you, but don't be annoyed by it. Not that you will be.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Good show.